It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, hitting the final stretch here of the Big Ten season, and the Indiana Hoosiers get a victory, break their string of three losses out of four games, three of those games, all their losses on the road. Teams in the top half of the Big Ten, but Michigan came to town yesterday on CBS, a depleted Michigan team missing a couple of their better players, one for the season, one for perhaps the season, Caris LeVert and Derek Walton Jr. Hoosiers get the victory, 70-67, able to blow open some leads, a couple double-digit spots, but not able to extend that or keep it there for the rest of the game. But the bottom line at the end of the day is the W in the column over there, and got to win your home games in this league, especially a league that, let's be fair, does not look like a bunch of world beaters. There are some tough teams to beat in the middle, but Wisconsin is the only true class nationally in the conference, and so you've got to win your home games, maybe steal a couple on the road, and they did win this one at home. And Glass, look, this is, to me, looking at the schedule in the recent past and looking at it down the stretch, this is a real nice stretch coming up for the Hoosiers. It was a rough stretch on the road against decent teams in this conference the last couple games. I don't want to put it all on the road, because certainly you'd like to have competed, I think, better early in the second half in a couple of those games. This Indiana team, it is not a world beater team. This is not one of the all-time classic Indiana teams. It is improving at a certain rate. It's not a huge rate. Offensively, it's a very good team. Defensively, we know it's not very good. But what it's got to do, it's got to beat a Michigan team at home. It's got to, down the stretch here, it's got to beat Purdue at home. It's got to beat Minnesota at home. Those are the games it's faced with. Iowa at home. If it steals a couple or one or two down the stretch at the road, even better. It's not a phenomenal team, but it's finding a way to win. And to me, there's a lot to be said for that, because last year's team, we talked about a lot of missed leads or lost leads down the stretch. It wasn't able to close anything out. And this team at least looks to me like they're not shocked by it all. If, you know, a team hits a couple shots, they aren't panicking. They aren't freaking out and throwing it to the other team left, right, up, and down. They're managing to get it out of the way.
No, it's interesting, too. Their best and most convincing home win was probably against the best team they played in that stretch. It wasn't Penn State. It wasn't Ohio State. It wasn't Michigan. All three of those teams had three-pointers at the buzzer to tie the game and force into overtime. So you learn from what you do, and sometimes you learn from winning, and sometimes you learn from getting beat. But the tough part for the Hoosier team is – you got to do this on the road a little bit more often against better teams if you want to be a Big Ten champion. If that's not the end-all be-all, I get that. That's fine. And maybe Indiana is a little limited in those situations that you think, well, this isn't maybe the team that's going to do that. But when they have the schedule, it sets up the way it does for them. I don't want to start chalking up W's just yet, because a lot of other teams are playing for stuff. Example, Wednesday night at Maryland. Maryland has not played very well for 3 weeks.
Turn things around.
Well, they can either turn things around or keep getting – Maryland's kind of like Indiana. They've been on the road to some big opponents and got it handed to them. And then they've struggled at home with the likes of Northwestern. They've struggled at home with the likes of Penn State.
Yeah, lost three of their last five.
Looks kind of familiar, doesn't it? Yeah. Freshman point guard. Right. Freshman point guard on the road gets you 20 the other night and you still get hammered. It's not as easy as the paper always looks to be. You don't play records in this league. There's too many good coaches. There's too much good scouting. There's too much film. We've talked about all that, and it's coming to fruition. Look at the schedule. Look at the standings in the Big Ten right now. It's 7-4, 7-4, 7-4, 7-4, 6-4, 6-4, 6-5, 6-6. That's a lot of average teams.
Yeah.
And average, if it's your team at 7-4, it's a good average.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
But you're right. It's not a classic five teams in the top 20 power.
And let's be fair, the three points right now, or three games, I should say, in the loss column behind Wisconsin, the way Wisconsin's
that's
playing,
it
looks insurmountable.
It doesn't look like they're going to lose three more games to tie.
Minimum.
And the good news is when you tie in the Big Ten for the regular season, you get a piece of it. The only reason they use tiebreakers is for the seeding in the Big Ten tournament. So, again, we've talked about this team moving forward, and to give them some credit, they have done that. They have won games after maybe not playing so well, and they've done that at home. The next part is you've beaten somebody on the road to get into that next echelon. But you're running out of games, like you mentioned. We've already got 11 in the books, seven more to go. You passed past the halfway mark, obviously. But what this team can learn is, again, offensively, that's where it comes from. And Troy Williams yesterday showed you why Indiana can be really good. How many jump shots did Troy take yesterday? The answer is zero.
I don't think it was any.
He was none. The farthest one he had, I think, was a leaner in the lane from a foot away. I think that was the farthest right, shot he took. Right. But he knocks down 8 of 8 at the line. He's aggressive going in the basket. And sure, he had 4 or 5 turnovers. I write that down before the game starts. That's what you get. Yeah. He plays at that speed. That's going to happen with it. You take the good with the bad, but you get 5 dunks. You get, 6 of 9 from the field? Mm-hmm. I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, 8 of 8 from the line.
And that's exactly what you want
from
him.
3 assists, 2 steals.
He didn't get in foul trouble, and that was good. His head was in the game. And, again, a team like Michigan, very similar to Indiana, not a lot of experience, a lot of young guys, guys that are playing because other guys are hurt, and you have to take advantage of that. And those are the games that, again, are going to keep you in the top half of the league. It was a workmanlike performance. Again, it's not going to be hung in the Basketball Hall of Fame, but right now that's fine. You don't want your best basketball being played maybe at this minute. There are 7 games left. And with the opportunity Indiana has, based on the schedule, looking at it right now, after at Maryland on Wednesday, it's home Minnesota, home Purdue. Yes, Purdue's a rivalry game. You saw everything you needed to see from Purdue at 30-15 with 10 minutes to go in the first half at West Lafayette. And then it's at Rutgers, at Northwestern again. Not layup games, but they are the, what, 2 of the 3 worst teams in the league?
Let's be fair.
Minnesota's 3 of the 4 worst teams in the league, true or false. Minnesota's 11th. Rutgers is 13th. Northwestern is 14th. Those are games, if you are going to spring yourself forward to get a positive seed in the Big Ten tournament to hopefully win a game or two, which, to be fair, when's the last time Indiana won 2 games in the Big Ten tournament? Mike Davis getting beat by Luke Recker. So we're getting into new territory again. Is Indiana going to be able to handle that on the road against teams that are essentially playing for what? Pride, playing in front of their fans. Indiana has plenty to play for if they want to be in that top 4. Double bye this year in the Big Ten tournament with the addition of the 2 teams. So, someone's going to play Wednesday. Someone's going to play Thursday. You hope you just have to play Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to play Friday, Saturday. How many times in the Big East have we seen that where a team?
Well, I think UConn won it a couple years ago, but you don't want to do that too often.
No, they don't. I think they did a couple last-second shots and some other things, play a couple double overtime games and all that. But here's the deal. The next step for this team, if we're going to even dream about things like Big Ten regular season championships, Big Ten conference tournament championships, or making noise in the NCAA tournament, you're going to have to beat some teams on the road because that's where you play the rest of these games. And the Hoosiers, again, down 30 at Michigan State, down 32 at Wisconsin. That's a tough to swing that pendulum all the way back around. That's going to be the tough part. Winning at home, Dave, this team has shown you over the years that's not been the problem.
No, it can beat teams at home. We've seen that. And
yep.
It does
really
have
good
a,
teams,
a little of both down the
teams.
Stretch, but we'll talk about the schedule down the stretch and the goal. If Wisconsin's not coming back, then your goal, to me, as you mentioned, let's get that double bye and play on Friday.
Double bye, exactly right.
Top 4 in the Big Ten. So we'll talk about that when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball, heading down the stretch here. 7 games left in the Big Ten season. There is a 4-way tie for 2nd place, of which Indiana is in the mix there. And some familiar foes there alongside them that they faced 3 of them here in the recent past, including their 3 losses here recently at Purdue, at Ohio State, included in there, and at Wisconsin, of course, number 1 in the conference. Not looking like they're coming back. Let's look at the schedule coming forward, and there's a key point here. I think when you talk about who they have to play, they're at Maryland Wednesday night. They're home on the weekend, and then during the week, Minnesota and Purdue. They go to Rutgers. They go to Northwestern. Then they're home to Iowa and Michigan State to finish it off. Looking at statistics, and you know, once you get a third of the way into the Big Ten season, I change over to only conference statistics because I want to see how they're doing against their peers.
Absolutely no point. So talking about how many you scored against exactly. some of the preseason teams.
And so I'm looking at this. You've got five games coming up against the bottom half of the league's scoring defenses. It's just one statistic. But it's, to me, you're going up against what you would call in the
Big
Ten. Where
is Michigan in that scoring defense?
Michigan is third.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's the one that blew me away when I looked at this. Is Nebraska's number one. Wisconsin's number two. This wouldn't be their, what I would call their greatest defensive team, but they're pretty good with their feet with this team. But Michigan's
and they
number
get
three.
Rebound,
yeah, Michigan's three. Then you go Purdue, Illinois, Michigan State. Penn State and Ohio State are tied for seventh, so I don't include Ohio State in the bottom half or Penn State. But you got Minnesota, Maryland, Rutgers, Iowa, Northwestern. Those are five-year finished games here, are games against teams that don't stop the ball as well as maybe the rest of the Big Ten does. So that, to me, is interesting because we know Indiana has to score. You also don't have to play yourself, who's the worst scoring defense in the Big Ten,
well,
so that doesn't help your record.
That's an interesting point because what that does is it does open the door to the team you're playing. They
yes,
say, hey,
yes, it does.
For example, with eight
they can't stop anybody either.
8 minutes and 32 seconds to go, whenever that little break in the game was, and CBS throws up the graphic, Michigan is the worst team in the country of major conferences of scoring in the paint, 21.2 points a game. And after they showed the graphic, they scored their 26th point of the afternoon. Yeah, so that does cut both ways, but what it does show is Indiana. The interesting game in this series is going to be Wednesday for me, because if the road happens again and it's another down 15, down 18 type game where you fight it back and you lose by 10 or 12, mm-hmm. now you're 7-5. You know you got Purdue in the rearview mirror, and they've got some. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. They go to Rutgers on Thursday. Rutgers has lost, let me see here, 8 straight.
Yeah.
So the Boilermakers could be flying high. They're looking to do exactly what you're doing. So I think the Wednesday game is going to set the tone for this, because what you don't want is this team to sit back and say, oh, hey, you know what?
No problem.
We haven't played that great on the road anyhow. Let's just take care of the winning at home. That's what fans say. That's not what coaches say.
Right.
They have to get better because the Big Ten tournament's not at the Assembly Hall.
Well, now they got to bring in Hunter Perez. So, I mean, you've got an interesting change to their lineup.
James Blackman's back. That's good. And, again, the normalcy this year hasn't been normal because you've had so many guys in and out. An interesting point from yesterday's game, how many bench guys got minutes? Hardly any.
Five.
But they didn't.
And only because only three or four have been getting them, and Perea got in yesterday to make it five.
But how many minutes did you even see out of those guys? Not many at all.
One for Hotzel, and that seems to be a trend.
Yeah, he came in and jacked up a three, then committed a foul, went right out of the game.
Perea had four. That's understandable coming back.
Holt had four.
He's been averaging closer to 11 or 12 a game at the very least.
Right.
What's interesting about that, of course, is that Michigan did have some success inside, and yet Holt wasn't a solution they wanted to use.
No, they wouldn't. Doyle had 15 points, and again, and Donald
Hoosiers
had
dominated on the boards again.
They did. They had a great day on the boards. Same at the foul line. They were -3 in the turnover department, only +1 from three. Michigan shot 50%, 54% in the second half. So, again, part of that reason is you don't have a rim protector. You don't have a guy you can trust in that system. And moving forward, Maryland had a really good look about what Indiana does well, because the night they came here and Indiana beat them by 19 points, hit 15 threes. Mm-hmm. 15-22. It was one of those nights where everything was going in no matter where it was at. So the Hoosiers, again, get some pieces to the puzzle back together. But putting it together is going to be interesting. 70 points was interesting. No question about it. Troy Williams, 20. Yogi, 18. And James Blackman Jr., 13. He had 12 in the first half, didn't he? Yeah,
yes.
I think he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had 8 rebounds, which was great. So you got ham and eggs. You didn't have one guy you were relying on the whole time. But this vaunted offense, against a good defense, as you mentioned, slowed down. Only had one field goal the last 4.5 minutes of the game. So moving forward, it's easier to do that at home when you've got these leads built and everything else. You've seen the quiet times what happened at Wisconsin. You've seen
sure.
the quiet times what happened at Purdue. What happened at – and I'll throw Maryland in there. Maryland is – they are learning what life is like in the Big Ten on the road.
Sure.
That's part of it. And again, a freshman point guard is a little bit different than a freshman two guard. He has the ball all the time. Shows you how tough Russell's
been.
Well,
he went two games. He went 0-13.
He did.
This weekend.
Yeah, not good. And he had 20 at Iowa and still didn't get him over the hump. Mm-hmm. So the Hoosiers taking the show on the road, that's one thing. But again, the schedule, as you mentioned, when you have those teams that don't defend very well, there's a reason they're in the bottom part of the league. If you don't defend well, that usually happens because you don't have the offensive firepower Indiana does.
333-2665 is our phone number. All right, the high end here for the Hoosiers, to me, is 6-1.
Maryland.
Bear with me a second. You lose at Maryland because that's the toughest road game you've got.
Right.
You've got four home games, and as we said, this team wins at home, and it beats teams at home. It's squeaking by on a couple of the worst teams, and it's beating the good teams. It's going on the road in their other two games on the road against the two bottom the two worst teams in the Big Ten schedule-wise or record-wise, and the two worst road records or home records, I should say, in the Big Ten. So you're going to the home of the two teams that play the worst at home.
The easiest teams.
So 6-1 is very realistic. A outstanding effort on Wednesday
sets the tone for that.
And you could make a conclusion that 7-0 is possible.
It is possible.
It's the Big Ten. I don't want to go that far. Rutgers is going to be crazy for you coming to town for the first time ever.
James Blackman twists an ankle. Hannah Perea bumps his knee.
Northwestern has played us tough all the time up there. You've got Iowa and Michigan State and Purdue all here. And Minnesota is close enough that they've lost a ton of games by less than 4 or 5 points. They're all going to be hard.
Yep, and Iowa and Michigan State could be fighting for their tournament life.
So six and one is optimistic, but 6-1 is very possible just based on what we know about this team. They play well at home, and they're going on the road to two of the teams that are worse than the Big Ten.
Yep, and some of the frustration from IU fans is when you have to say, "Hey, we're going to Wisconsin, we're 15-point dogs, got no shot."
Well, sure,
that's a tough part. Right,
everybody's
now
saying that about Wisconsin right now.
It is,
to be fair. I mean, it is. Going to Purdue and going to Ohio State and saying that's a little different.
It is, and the results were the results they were. But what this team needs to figure out is they have to do something defensively on the road that keeps their offense in the game with a chance besides making 10, 12, 13 three-point shots. That is putting so much pressure on guys like Hartman and Zeisloff. Then all of a sudden you see Troy shooting jumpers when maybe he's so much more effective at the basket.
Well, let me ask you this. Did they do anything wrong on the offensive end this weekend? Because they only made seven threes. It was a good percentage, so it was within the offense. It didn't strike me that they were trying too much from outside. No, exactly. So they went inside. It seems to me like that's the style of offense
with the continued attacking, not necessarily relying
on the threes. It can translate to the road.
It's a lot easier to make them from Troy Williams' distance than it is from three-point land. And some of the other problems are, obviously, Michigan didn't have any height. They were like us, four guards and one kind of big
guy.
They
had a couple guys.
He's a freshman. A freshman on the road in the Big Ten, you're not going to put him under that. But what Indiana did is they played their strengths. When Indiana needs to hit open jump shots, they can. Well, they're 7-17. You'd take that every night. That's a good percentage.
That was a good percentage.
And he didn't shoot 35 of them, which was great as well. You take what's given, and you see when you get in the lane and you get to the foul line and you get dunk after dunk and the crowd's rocking. Sometimes that's better than the three. Sure, it's one more point, but you get a little energy buzz there, and everybody gets out of their seat and gets moving and shaking. But what Indiana did a good job of, for the most part, was moving the basketball. When it wasn't good, it stood out like a sore thumb. Here's a three. Let's get an offensive rebound. Yogi dribbles for 30 seconds, goes in the lane, gets a shot block, and then 7-8 point game. Mm-hmm. That was great because it wasted 32 seconds. That wasn't the best offense you've seen. You see the stand around, look at each other, pass it back and forth, and you go with eight.
No, he attacked a 1-3-1 late and got a dunk for Williams. It was great timing for that, obviously.
Which was a super pass. And again, the Hoosiers moving the ball, getting through the lane, getting to the foul line. When you watch the game, you see when it works. And when Indiana hits contested threes and they go in, you're never going to argue that result. You're going to argue sometimes the shot selection. So when they can be balanced, when they've got guys on the inside in the paint driving to the hole, getting layups, when they've got guys that can spot up and knock down jumpers, when they hit the boards with the rebounding, plus 13, plus 12, plus 14.
11.
It was a great, great game on the glass. Yep. It should be against a guy, Spike Albrecht's not going to get any rebounds from Michigan. Mm-hmm. Some of those guys struggled as
They're
well.
They're not small. Albrecht is, but the rest of them, I mean, they've got decent size. They're just not big.
And I think the thing that gets Indiana going is movement. And sometimes when those jumpers start going in early, you get a little standy and watchy, and then you fall into that trap because it's team.
That's why I love the way they attacked, because from the get-go, it was get into the lane and try to get layups.
And when you get that many rebounds, you saw them get out in the open court and get moving, and there were some turnovers in that. That's fine. There were some transitions in three, or threes in transition. Those are all the things that are part of the offense. And when you have it a multifaceted attack, That's what makes Indiana hard to guard. You can give Michigan some credit, I guess. They held only three guys in double figures, not the five. Usually Indiana, it seems like they put five guys in double figures every night. Maybe I'm wrong on that. Usually somebody's got eight, and then you've got guys at 10, 11, 12, 15, 18.
8-7 for Hartman and Johnson.
Solid. That's all you can ask for. And when there that many guys are firing, it makes them that much harder to guard. And the Hoosiers weathered the late storm from Michigan and watched Mars 3, Muhammad Ali Abdul-Rahman. That's a tough one. That was the guy who wanted shooting it. It was 1-6 before that one went up and didn't get enough oomph on it. And the Hoosiers are victorious.
I know who you didn't want taking it.
No, you didn't. Zach and they Irvin. Ran three guys at him and give Michigan credit for moving the ball. And the kid had the stones. He had to take the shot Hartman running at him. And Indiana did what they needed to do. They won. Nobody's going to look back at that game and say, well, if you beat him by 18, that's great. If you beat him by 8, it's great. If you beat him by 1, it's great. It's a win. You move on. The thing for Indiana that's going to give them the most confidence is not beating Minnesota at home. It's going to be a win on the road against Maryland. Shouldn't be ranked, I don't think, after last week. But again, a better team, a top. They're tied for second in the league, Dave.
They're 19th overall.
Is that from today's poll?
I believe so.
Wow. So they lose on the road.
It might not
16,
be today's. I'm sorry, but that's what's listed on ESPN right now.
Wow. Okay. Good for them. So the point: beat a big team on the road. That's going to give you more confidence than beating a team you should beat at home.
We'll take a quick break. Talk some defense when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Talking IU basketball, victors over the victors, no more. 70-67, the Hoosiers beat Michigan yesterday in the Assembly Hall. Michigan, of course, missing a couple key players, especially on the offensive end.
Their backcourt.
Yeah, exactly. So take that with a grain of salt if you'd like.
Nope.
Certainly
should.
It's
their problem, not ours.
It's a W no matter what.
Yep.
That said, another game, and I think a key here, and we'll talk about it here in a second. Look, this is not a great defensive team by any stretch. And what I wanted to ask you
about. Really good offensive team.
It's a really good offensive team, and it is clearly putting all its eggs in that basket. And it's working a lot most of the time. Let's be fair. 7-4 means it's working most of the time, not all the time. We can project any way we want. But here's my question about the defense. The defense wasn't great when they went to Nebraska or Illinois, but they had a piece in the middle that has been out for a while now that they've adjusted to offensively to take advantage of other teams, but not defensively, because that's not what Colin Hartman does versus Hunter Perea.
Sure.
You've got Hunter Perea coming back now, not up to his condition, clearly.
Yogi said that
four
in the post-game. Said, hey, look, he's got to get in basketball shape.
But is it possible that our best defensive improvement in the next month is going to be simply getting him back in the middle as some sort of protection to the rim that we simply don't have right now?
I think part of it is no, and here's why, because I think then again you fall back into, well, he's back there. Team's been better when Blackman gets 8 rebounds, Williams gets 8 rebounds.
Well, Blackman was rebounding all year long, and I'm not talking about rebounding. Talking literally defense.
Right, but that's part of it. That's not leaking out, not saying, hey, Hunter's going to be back there. Mm-hmm. I think the good news is, yes, you like his length, but how many times have we seen him this year? He has blocked a few shots. I think Colin Hartman, I think he might have more. Hartman might have more blocks than Perea, but trying to take charges, he's playing a little robotic. The annoyance factor will go up. There's no doubt about that. I'd like to see Indiana's transition defense as a whole get a little bit better. How many times do you see guys, here, we're not running real hard. We're not sprinting back, getting after it. Those are things that, by this point in the season, that's got to get going.
Was that better yesterday? 8 fast break points for Michigan?
There were times down the court where Michigan missed a couple layups on those free
There's
ones because guys
three.
Were jogging and they weren't sprinting. And you saw a couple of them go right to the bench, Stan Robinson and James Blackman, after a couple plays on that. You can't have one guy running because that's happening. But I think Perea helps everybody because, number one, it's 5 fouls. Number one, guys have to think about it. But, again, playing without him, I don't think you ever go into a season and you say, geez, we're gonna drill all fall and this, and we're gonna do all this, and then we're not going to expect him to be there. I think you play that way, and what you've been beaten into in all those practices and all those shootarounds and all those times you go into Cook Hall, he's there. So I think the comfortability factor has to be better. You've seen times when he's been healthy where he's played 8 minutes and didn't give you anything. Mm-hmm. So there's always that side of the coin as well. So throwing him out there, I think, will help the total of it. But the way Hartman's been playing has been decent. That's the good thing. I think Perea at 60%, I don't know how much that helps.
Sure.
Do you lean? Is that going to help you, or do you want Hartman in there?
Well, he can't
eating
be
up
a
those
force on,
right.
know, at
and that's the
you
thing.
Can't.
And Yogi said that after the game. He said, you know, he has to get back in basketball shape.
He had a knee injury. He can't be running around.
You can ride the exercise bike all you want. That's not stopping and starting. That's right. not getting across the lane. That's not getting into position and doing all that. So the 100% Perea coming back, I think, is important. Now, is playing him going to hurt him? Probably not. I wouldn't think take that chance getting him back in there. But you want all your pieces. If anything, it's five more fouls. And that's the weird thing. Sometimes you saw at Wisconsin. Where's Holtz play more? Right. Let him foul.
Well,
look. Let him get into Kaminsky a little bit.
From what I've been seeing.
Let him get into Hayes. Let him get into
I'm
Decker.
I'm not going to tell you the defense is great. And I'm not going to tell you it's necessarily improved. But what I complained about earlier in the season was the perimeter on-ball defense. I thought there were times where it looked out of several players, including your biggest stars, as though it was disinterested in staying in front of somebody. I don't know if that was because Perea was back there and they just said, screw it. I don't know that. I think that has been better.
I didn't
say that's been great. I said I think that's been better. I think if you combine better on-ball defense, as they've been playing, in my opinion, to some degree, with somebody in the back that at least has some kind of presence back there. Because that is the one thing that look, we all love that Colin Hartman can get a block a game or something like that. But it's not like he's standing back there and intimidating the hell out of people.
No.
He's making smart plays and in position where he can get it before the ball hits the glass. Not you, of course.
But, oh, that's right. They can hit me.
No, but that to me is the intriguing part about the defense, because it's not going to get better just because they all of a sudden decide to clamp down on people and get it.
I think the situation defensive time has been very good. It's been bad when they give up a 21-2 run against Illinois, but find a way to shoot themselves out of it, then play good situational defense in the last 90 seconds there where they get a couple steals and a couple runouts. It's there. It's just something that I don't think they spend as much time on because they know the offense can separate themselves. That's the key. When they can get easy layups, when they can get to the foul line, I don't think a kid's going to wake up one day on February 14th and Valentine's morning and be like, you know what? Today's the day I get after it. Today's the day I'm going to stop. That guy in front of me is not going to score. That's a system culture that needs to develop. They don't have seniors grabbing them by the ear and film going, dude, you can't do that.
Yeah, you've got to stay in front of
them. That can't be. You're killing us. This is my last year. This ain't going to happen.
Right.
You haven't had the bench to a degree. The guys off the bench, Hartman, Zeisloff, Hotzel.
Not your most athletic guys.
Well, and not on-ball defenders. So they're not going to solve that issue. Maybe Stan can help you at times. Stan, again, to me, he's a reacher. He's so athletic, and just if he just played good principles, you'd think he'd be more effective. But he's learning. He never had to do this.
He's got good feet. He's got a strong
a
bottom half of his body.
He's got great hops and everything else.
And they've asked him to go up against some big guys, and he's done it for
stretches. Guarding the post yesterday. He was guarding Irvin on the perimeter. He was guarding Albrecht. Again, you're throwing four or five things at him in his 8 or 9 minutes, and he's already a little you know what I'm trying to say?
Everybody would feel a lot better about Stan if he coupled the defensive end, where he does seem to me to be trying, with not having to take four shots the minute he gets in
again,
the game. Because to me it looks like the minute he gets the ball on the other end, he's in charge, he's going to the basket, that's his game. When he's in the game,
hey man, I practice
to give
all
you some,
week too.
I know, but he's in the game right now to give you stretches on the defensive end, he is.
But he has to embrace that, or he's not going to play. That's the other part. He is more valuable being a two-way player than he is being a one-way player. We have enough guys that need a little help defensively. We don't need an extra one coming off the bench. Yeah. There's enough stuff here. Indiana, they space it so well on offense. And when you see other teams space against them on defense, you can tell the guys when the ball's on the opposite side of the court, if you're sitting on the near side and the ball's on the other side, look to see where the guys are. If the guys are within arm's reach of their man on the complete opposite side, that's not good principle defense. Mm. And you can yell, and you can scream, and you can show it in film. But if it doesn't get done, it's not going to get done. And those are the things why when people turn the corner on pick and roll from the other side, a guy's diving in late to help, he already needs to be on that side. You bisect the floor in half. You make him throw the skip pass and shoot the 22-footer.
Sure.
You don't want the guy curling for a layup. Those are things that just have to be a culture and have to continue to do it. You saw Hartman in the last couple minutes of that game try to jump the screen. Albrecht split it, went in for a layup, and they're running late to get – and there's no one there to get the – because they're not – all the way over yet. And that's a culture thing that they have to get going. And maybe next year, maybe hopefully later this year, it all comes together. You never know. That you have that aha moment every once in a while where, hey, you figured it out. But if you can get teams to make bad decisions, your defense doesn't have to be great.
Right.
That's the one thing because they've shown they can rebound it. They've shown they can do that. They're not getting destroyed on the glass.
You got to at least make it hard on them.
But you got to give them make them make choices. Perea can help with that, sort of. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of teams say take it right to him. Because he hasn't played enough games where he's comfortable in that position. But if some team's going to be Indiana, you take your hat off to him. If they're not getting layups and they're going to hit 15 to 20 something three pointers and shoot you out of the gym, well, then you got to stop that and stop the dribble. You know what we call that? Louisville.
Well, yeah.
We call that Wisconsin.
This Big Ten conference right now is not full of offensive teams.
But Michigan State can do that to you. Iowa can get some guys shooting that. So you've got that. Melo Trimble can score from anywhere on the court. We've seen. Mm-hmm. He's a freshman, so some days it happens and some days it doesn't. Minnesota's got a really good guard-heavy offense, which what's our problem right now?
Guarding the penetration.
But that's one of those things that you know is coming down the road, and you have to improve on. And good teams play better later in the year. You don't want to be 8-0 and then 8-6 or 9-5.
Are they playing better now at this stage of the year than they were a month and a half ago?
That's a tough question. Two ways, because of the injury problems they've had, I give them full credit being where they are because they've earned it. You don't get style points. This is not a beauty contest where you say, well, they lost a couple they shouldn't have, so we're going to give them a little bit of a bump. No, they've won those games.
Right.
They haven't been pretty, but they've also been down 30 at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. They've also been down 28 at Purdue, 26. It wasn't – I don't want to – 73, 46. It wasn't good.
It was quite a bit,
no. Wasn't good. Yeah. And then you've done that at Wisconsin. So you've got that dichotomy.
Right.
You can stick it to somebody, and you've had it stuck to you somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle is that answer. Well, and that's what we're looking for. And in the Maryland game, I think, is huge because it can't be the same old thing again. How do you do that? Well, you know you can shoot. Look how well they shot against Wisconsin. 7 of 8 from 3 in the first half. Shot 62%, and we're down 8 at halftime.
Yeah, kept them in the game.
You have to have some of that balance. Deflections. Talk about it all the time. Tom Crean loves that word, deflections. That's not active hands. If your hands are down, guys are shooting over you. Those are things. Guys are penetrating and getting around you. You don't want to foul them. You don't want to whatever it is. Indiana needs to get better defensively. I don't think there's any argument in that. I don't think they're omitting defense. I just think they're not at the experience level yet of having team defense with all the new pieces and parts they have playing.
No, the part that still stands out to you is rotations and help side. It really is. Again, I think the on-the-ball stuff is improved.
It's getting better.
It's still got a ways to go as a team. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We look forward when we get back. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. Get you back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. We have a Best of Joe Smith Sports Talk tomorrow night as Joe is traveling with IU. IU, of course, plays at Maryland 9 o'clock on Wednesday. We'll join you 6 o'clock on Wednesday, so tune in then. And high school basketball this week, we're moving it all over here the last few weeks on you to keep you on your toes.
The ladies have the floor on Friday night for the sectionals, so the boys will go on Thursday this week.
Thursday night, Eastern Green is going to Edgewood. In a area battle, Chalk Talk 7 o'clock and tip-off at 7:30 for that game here on WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers victorious over Michigan this weekend and head to Maryland 9 o'clock on Wednesday.
Let me wrap up that defensive point real quick because we were talking about that off the air right when we hit the break. the next step defensively this team is going to make is to play defense. And what I mean by that is not is not react on defense. You see sometimes when they get in and they're switching defenses and they're pointing and talking and some guy, you got, are we playing man
all the time.
Are we doing man or zone, right, or what are we in? What's
they
going
always
on?
Listen,
hey,
to each
behind
other
you over there, this, that, and the other thing. Yeah. When it doesn't seem natural to them because it seems like they're waiting for the call from somewhere to see where it's going on. That's part of the growing process. That's the first step, is getting that. The second part of that is knowing where that is naturally, where you don't have to be. You've got one ear listening for the calls and everything else. You say, hey, my guy's over there. I know I need to be over there to be help.
Is this about...
It's about growth is what it is.
Well, let me... Another question here. I mean, this has been thrown around there too. Is this about some guys out there not being... the word basketball IQ. Not having the same basketball IQ and thus not being... You know, help defense is not something that's been in their brain anytime recently.
Well, and the other part is there's a lot of guys that have good basketball IQ and don't have the physical tools to get there in time.
Right.
You think, well, I know I need to be there, but why are you always late? Why are you half step late? Because you're just not used to firing at that time. And that's the thing. These guys, and it's not picking on them. It's just the numbers bear it out.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And you haven't been required to defend most of your high school life. That's not what gets you to college. Mm-hmm. Usually you have to be able to score, shoot the basketball, get your own shot, whatever it is. The next step is, and everybody always says, well, he's an Indiana kid, he should be able to do this. Well, some coaches are better than other coaches. Some coaches don't recruit guys that don't play defense. Some guys recruit guys only that play defense. Some guys have a mix and a match. But what happens is when everybody's learning together, if everybody was laterally as quick as Yogi, you wouldn't have an issue.
Right.
And then you might not have some guys that could score. No, you get a team like Georgetown. Hey, look how quick they are. Right. Maybe not the best shooting team in America, but hard to break them down. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's kind of like that out front with their guys. They get the water bug guards that are really quick laterally.
Right.
Get in front of you, stay in front of you, make you hit tough shots. But there's a trade-off there. If the angle is to build offensively, you have to have offensive players. You can't teach offense. I'm a big believer in that.
Well, shooting is a fundamental in the same way everything else is.
You can help guys get better, but you can't teach a guy to be Troy Williams.
Right.
You can't. You can't. Hannah Perez is never going to be Troy Williams. You know that. Look at how raw Victor was, right? All you did with Victor was say, don't turn it over and only shoot open threes.
Yeah.
Ta-da! Now he's got a lot of talent to go with that because that's part of it. But how many times on defense was Victor lost in his early years?
Yeah.
He would rely on his athletic ability. Hey, guy runs by me, I'm just going to block a shot.
He was better at this stage than Troy was.
He had better anticipation.
But his first year, he was just as jumpy all over the place.
Because that's how he got on the court.
Yeah, exactly.
He wasn't going to get on the court scoring. Didn't need him.
It was athleticism.
It was athleticism. And you know what? Guy gets a handful of steals, makes some plays, you give him a break. Mm-hmm. If he gets you three steals a game or whatever. I don't know. No one averages three steals a game. But if he's hot and he's making plays, you let him have a couple goofy ones because he's a guy who'll sprint down the court and block the layup because he got beat.
Well, Troy had two steals yesterday.
You know what? He was better.
He was active.
Deflections.
And that's the important part.
I mean, you can never cause problems with your hands at your sides.
Look.
And you see Crean on the sidelines waving. He wants those guys to do it.
I tweeted this during the game yesterday.
It's all part of it.
An active Troy Williams may drive you crazy a couple times, but he has to be active.
If he stays active,
you're probably going to get good things most of the time.
You know what inactive Troy Williams is? 4 points, one rebound, 12 minutes. That's inactive Troy Williams. I don't want inactive Troy Williams. You want crazy Troy Williams in the sense he has to play fast at that level, and those turnovers are going to come with it. You just have to bite your lip and hope it's not in the last 3 minutes in a four-point game. If it's in the first half, who cares?
Right.
Go bonkers. You know what that does? It keeps him in the game.
Keeps him in the game.
Because you saw Crean after the deflection. Troy's 1-on-3, 2-on-3, stops at the foul line, just like they teach you in third grade basketball. Mm-hmm. He kicks it out for the open three. Johnson swishes it. Crean runs to half court going crazy because that's what Troy needs.
Yeah,
because
you got to back that
up. He did it right, and he wants him to do it again. Number one, deflection. Number two, great decision. And you saw him go crash the rebound that wasn't even needed after that. That's the Troy you have to have, and that's part of growing up. That's part of playing fast and smart because you don't want Troy playing slow. Because if Troy catches the ball static, right? How many times do we see happy feet?
Yeah.
How many times
he
do we see
a lot with
because
it,
the brain's going faster and everything else is. So you want him cutting on that baseline. You want him dodging in and out of space. You don't want him standing. Four other guys can stand. Troy has to move, and that's when they're almost unguardable.
So Wednesday night, we'll do a lot more on Maryland on Wednesday night. But let's look at the kind of general here, the intangibles, if you will, of this game. You mentioned that you want the team to show some fight on the road. I think we all want that.
Yeah, that's the next step.
At the end of the day, how important is a win at Maryland at this stage of the season, looking at the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think it's hugely important because, as we mentioned, going to the Big Ten tournament in Chicago, not in Indianapolis, big difference. In Chicago, you're still going to have a ton of IU fans, or I get that. NCAA tournaments on the road, sure, you might get a nice, maybe a Louisville, Lexington spot, whatever it could be when you make the tournament. But you don't play in comfortable environments from the end of the regular season on. Everybody knows that. This isn't anything revolutionary. Are you going to get that confidence beating Rutgers at Rutgers, Northwestern, two terrible teams? Or are you going to get that confidence that you think from a team that's been down, 27, 30, 32 on the road? I think Maryland is the huge part of that. If they lose at Maryland, do I think the season's over? No, they've shown me before, coming back after Michigan State, coming back after Purdue, coming back after Wisconsin, games at home, they've turned it around and been fine. It's just you hope that gap is bridged. And you know what? If a team beats you, I can live with that. But when you can't be down 25 points every game on the road to a decent opponent.
Right.
Not if you have any dreams of winning things or advancing later in March.
The schedule is in their favor.
It
down
is.
The
it's
stretch.
Absolutely in their favor.
To me,
you couldn't ask for a better schedule.
Look, I want them to play well at Maryland. I'd like them to make this a game.
Yeah, I think they can.
I would love a victory, but to me, more importantly, I think, is that effort and what do you see out of them.
It's when the will
you don't
gets
want them
broken.
To take it easy, because as you mentioned off the air, and this is perfectly legitimate, the last couple of years the Tom Crean teams have not finished well. Now, last year's team didn't. They had hiccups all over the season, so
right.
It's not like it was just the end of the season. But you'd like to see this team start to get it and think that, okay, the Michigan State game was an aberration. The Purdue game was a rivalry game. They took it to you. You're going to do the same thing to them when they get here because,
right.
Darn it, we're going to make that back
right.
up. And Wisconsin's the best team in the conference by far. Okay, not necessarily a big surprise there. But Maryland, on the other hand, you took it to them. You know they're after you to get some revenge, but you know you can compete with them.
Yeah, you know it's coming, and that's the thing it gets you to. When you go to Wisconsin, it's going to be a dogfight. You know when you go to Purdue, it's going to be a dogfight. You know at Michigan State, we can count on one finger.
Right.
All those places, you can count on one finger in most of those places where Indiana's
right.
won lately. The next step is not being involved in those games, not playing well in those games. It's winning those games, and that's what makes championship teams. Indiana-Maryland Wednesday night is this first step in that direction because, again, Dave, that opens up a lot of positivity in a team that could use some on the road.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday, so tune in then. We will preview IU at Maryland. We'll talk to you then. You've been in the zone.